Hello, and welcome to our latest Family Office Solutions podcast, where we explore the evolving landscape of wealth management, innovation, and strategic partnerships. I'm your host, Mark Tepsick, Family Office Design and Governance Strategist for Family Office Solutions. In today's session, I'm excited to welcome our guest, Rishi Bali, the founder and CEO of Opco.ai. Opco.ai is a platform that helps families and family offices modernize their operating core without replacing existing systems. So today, Rishi is going to share how an intelligence layer can unify fragmented systems, operations at the IPS in real time, and reduce key person risk. Rishi, thank you again for sharing your insights with us today. We've talked over the course of the last few months to a year, and I really value your approach to modernizing really the operating core without disruption. I think it's a game changer for family offices navigating this complexity. Before we dig in, Rishi, can you just give me your background, kind of how you got here? That's always a great story.
Thanks, Mark, for having me on the podcast. Obviously, UBS is a fantastic platform for family offices, and I'm very happy to be here with you today. So essentially, I've been around markets for 30 years. I started my career at Goldman Sachs, in the mid-90s. And I started my career in a very structured product at the time, which is interest rate swaps. My training is really understanding derivative products, understanding the complexity of items, derivatives were sort of done over the counter. And so we really paid attention to operations, risk, and also the technology that's used to sort of, govern the space. So after my sort of time in interest rates, I was asked by the firm to help sort of launch the new credit derivative business. In the late 90s, people wanted to trade more credit, products around credit, whether it was investment grade, high yield, and then that expanded to CDOs, CLOs, reinsurance. So it was a lot of complexity involved, and I helped sort of build, the pipes of the firm and the infrastructure to really support this vast credit business. So that was like a deep experience for me in operations, risk, and technology. And, we built our own technologies in-house. And then subsequently, in the sort of mid-2000s, a lot of hedge funds wanted to trade credit as a product and interest rates as a product. Typically hedge funds used to, essentially firms would trade more equities before. And so we took that experience and those products to build derivatives prime brokerage. So essentially that became a client-facing business. And so we really sort of upped the ante in terms of our ability to execute for the firm's clients in operations, risk, and technology. So that is really, my experience. And now, I'm taking that institutional experience and really executing for the family office, So the three sort of main things I think you alluded to is, we work on sort of, overall architecture. We modernize, the family office's operating core without ripping and replacing existing systems. And also sort of we make sure that these family offices are staying true to the investment policy statements that are implemented.
Perfect. So you come from the institutional side. There's obviously a lot of similarities, but also, there's clearly distinctions between institutions and family offices. But family offices, have been going and allocating to more direct investments, more alternative investments, private markets over time. And so, you're thinking about private credit, you're thinking about real estate. And what tends to break operationally and what infrastructure matters most to fix it for family offices, right, when it comes to their tech and just getting better insight and data off of it?
Yeah, no, great question, Mark. And actually, the reason we think we do so well with family offices is because we have that institutional lineage. And as families get more complex, we're seeing much more complexity within families, right? Whether it's, they want to invest in private credit, real assets, there are different families, that might want to invest in life sciences or music assets or there are many athletes now running their own family offices. So the complexity is quite vast, And essentially what really breaks is the numbers and the handoffs, that happen around the numbers, right? And so as sort of families get more complex and they add more deals, you know, they have more entities, the data is living in different places. You know, there's some data with the admins, there's some data with custodians, you know, a lot of data is on spreadsheets. And essentially data is like scattered, right? And there isn't a sort of a unified data model that exists for these family offices, right? And the result of that is, you know, month ends become very complex, you know, numbers don't match. You know, capital call emails are not systematically handled, or they might be unprocessed. We see a lot of sort of timing of cash surprises in internal family offices. You know, so essentially, you know, liquidity cannot be once a week sort of PDF. You know, it should happen real time. And essentially, you know, the fix isn't buying another platform, right? We see a lot of people say, hey, look, you know, maybe there's a silver bullet system that's going to replace it. And you know, I don't subscribe to that, right? I think the pain is not in the asset itself, but it's in the seams between what's going on, right? And so what we really design is this intelligence transformation layer that sits on top of the institutional systems, and it really sort of you know, modernizes the operating core, right? And the institutional, you know, the institutional intelligence layer sort of starts giving you that one data model, one clean set of numbers that everybody trusts, you know, and our focus is really in tying the performance view to the books and records, right, which we call the ABOR, right, in traditional finance. So essentially, you know, you start having automatic checks, you know, alerts for capital calls, you know, loan funds are captured, you know, you can really sort of forecast your cash runway. And so essentially, you know, Mark, what you're doing is you're still sort of delivering the consumer-grade experience and the hands-on, you know, the hands-on service to the family. But in the background, you know, we're building institutional-grade systems and infrastructure, which exists in other businesses, you know, that handle, you know, private credit and real assets, and bringing that into the family office.
So it's super interesting, you know, because when you're dealing with families, or at least family offices, right, and you're coming from the institutional side, you know, a lot of these family offices, they are looking for, you know, at accounting solutions, they're looking at consolidated reporting, and you're often, you know, I'm dealing with the accountants, right, or the CFO or the controller, and they're trying to figure out what works best for them, and there's a lot of options out there. So you get, you know, and there is some good sort of off-the-shelf platforms, but that doesn't mean it fits perfectly, and so, you know, you had mentioned intelligence layer, right? And so what do you mean by the intelligence layer? How is it different from buying another system, right? Or leaning harder really on the administrator? How is that different, you know, than off the shelf? And, you know, the second part of that is, where does AI help today? And how can families really lower total costs without breaking what already works for them?
Sure. Yeah. And so, you know, clearly, you know, there are systems, you know, that are out there. You know, some of the systems may not be doing exactly what they were designed for, and some systems are 20 years old, right? And so we get it, and that's the problem statement, right? And so essentially the goal isn't to throw away the systems, right? You know, they may be doing 70% of the work, 80% of the work. And typically somebody will say, hey, like, you know, here's a silver bullet system. You know, obviously, you know, we know from experience, you know, that there's no sort of end-to-end system which handles the complexity of the numerous challenges within the family offices, right? Because the investments are quite diverse, right? From impact to structuring, you know, for tax. And so, you know, there is a huge complexity in family offices, which sort of often is ignored. And so what we do really is essentially our mantra is that, you know, we want to stitch your systems and not switch the systems, right? Because when you switch systems, you know, it creates a lot of CapEx fatigue. You have to implement them. You have to buy, you know, build more reconciliations. So we don't think sort of the solution is to really build another system. Most family offices have systems that do sort of most of the work, but they're not stitched together, right? So what we design is this intelligence layer. So in the past, you know, let's say you have three or four different systems, and you know, you may link system one to system two through an API, and so it creates this sort of like point-to-point connection, you know, and so you can't see the full picture. And so, you know, we use our experience, you know, so OPCO uses our sort of institutional experience to sort of, you know, sort of build this intelligence layer. And you can think of it more like a hub and spoke model, right? Where you know, over time, you know, our vision is that each of these different systems will be connected to a central hub, and the central hub can see exactly what's going on in each of the systems, and the central hub over time gets connected to administrators, you know, to advisors, and that central hub essentially has a lot of the logic that goes on. So you know, if you want to add more capacity, you can leave harbor on the administrator for sure. But the thing is, but you don't sort of capture a unified logic or a data model that's needed, right? And once you don't have that, you have a lot of noise in your books and records. Things don't tie up. It's a lot of manual work. So essentially, think of the intelligence layer is a personalized AI logic layer that institutionalizes the logic and IP that already exists within the firm. It could be living in a spreadsheet. It could be living with a personnel who's performing some tasks. And this intelligence layer starts off by solving a tactical problem, right? So somebody will come to us and say, hey, you know, our performance and our P&L doesn't really add up, right? How do we solve that? So essentially what we do is we start bringing those systems together into that intelligence layer. So you can think of it as a glue layer. And once we start like gluing these systems together, essentially we start capturing the logic, right? So we solve the problems tactically, and then the intelligence layer emerges, right? And why now, right? It's a very fair question, like why isn't this done before? Because earlier you would just you know, stitch, you know, you would sort of connect systems point to point, right? So system A to system B through an API, but you didn't have an overlying intelligence layer. You never captured the logic within the firm. And today, you know, you have new AI, some technologies like MCP framework that can connect disparate systems, right? And so we have these more modern frameworks. We can write, you know, Python React systems to really sort of emerge, have this intelligence layer emerge over time. And where AI can really help is you know, there's a lot of document to data life cycles that are happening to digitize limited partnership agreements. You know, a lot of reconciliations can be automated. Anomaly detection happens. You know, a lot of drafting of the investment committee and board packs are easier because you're sort of working off, you know, one set of data. And essentially, you know, you start to narrow, you know, cycle time, detection rates, manual touches, and that brings the cost down, right? Because you have a design system that works end to end, as opposed to having breaks and solving the breaks. So it's a much more, you know, much more efficient operational environment, you know, where the families can focus on the mission and not sort of this noise that keeps happening in operating the family. So the big mantra is, you know, keep your stack and essentially, you know, OPCO AI can come in and stitch it for you, and you really don't need to switch to other systems that are costly and sort of create a lot of sort of CapEx fatigue.
Okay. I mean, that is definitely something that family offices are going to want to kind of understand better. You know, one thing they're always looking for, right? And again, because I call it family office time, and you're essentially dealing with a handful of people in a small organization, right? It's not a big institution. And they're just trying to kind of minimize things, usually streamline things. And they're really looking for that silver bullet. And that silver bullet is here, right? It's consolidated performance reporting tied to the GL, right? Tied to the general ledger. And how do you make that real in practice?
Sure. And that's absolutely the biggest pain point, right? Is essentially making sure what you're reporting in terms of your performance is actually what's happening on your books and records, right? And it's easier said than done, right? And so the first thing, you know, we sort of have an operating process where we treat the general ledger or the account and books of records as sacrosanct, right? It is the book of record and we treat it as sacrosanct. And essentially, because of system limitations, people may book items into the GL directly, where the GL doesn't have sort of a front end to capture that product, right? And so essentially, you know, it's putting, you know, sort of a round peg in a square hole because, you know, you're setting up the product incorrectly in the GL, right? And essentially, when you have the intelligence layer that we talked about, you know, it first unifies every feed from custodians, from administrators to deal systems into one governed data model. And then once you have a data model, there are certain things that don't fit neatly into the GL. You know, for example, look-throughs, waterfalls, off-cycle adjustments, you know, And typically people jam that into the GL. And so essentially once you have that intelligence layer, those items live in the intelligence layer. And the intelligence layer then makes, you know, transparent transformations. It has the lineage of things. It has the logic, right, that's required to really send an entry down into the GL. So once you have that emergence of the intelligence layer, you have a data model that actually can generate an entry that goes cleanly into the GL and computes performance of the same normalized data. So essentially, you know, the right entries are going into your GL because we are considering a GL sacrosanct, right? And in the background, you know, we set up a system where we are constantly reconciling cash, positions, and valuations with exceptions, you know, that are routed to maker checker approvals. So in the end, you know, the performance and the books of records agree by design. And essentially, investment committee and board packs are then produced from the same pipeline, right? And so essentially you have one pipeline that you use to operate, report, and audit. And you do that by stitching, you know, your different systems together into this intelligence layer. And essentially then tie-outs are not a problem. You don't have the breaks to begin with because you're solving a lot of these problems upstream and sending very clean data, right entries into your books and records. So your books and records they can't adapt, but your intelligence layer adapts and sends the right information to the books. And that's sort of the real architecture that OPCO AI brings to really sort of give you a scalable environment, right, where your performance rating, performance reporting, and your general ledger is tied out on a real-time basis.
Perfect. All right. Let's pivot a bit. You know, we're still talking family office, obviously. But again, you got Family Office Island, that's what I call it. And within that, you've got a lot of key person risk, right? So if you've got a 5 or 8 person staff, there's usually one person, usually the family office head, that can tie that all together, right? From the tax side, from the investment side, the estate planning, general ledger, the accountant, and then the family. So you get a lot of key person risk. And so this is a reality for a lot of family offices. How do you reduce dependence on any one individual while honoring really sort of that family loyalty to that person and vice versa in the culture?
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. You know, and of course we understand that, you know, of course, you know, you want the, like I said, you know, you want the sort of family office to operate very efficiently, right? To sort of focus on their core functions and not, you know, massive operations and risk functions, right? So we have to automate those and make them very simple, right? And sort of OPCO AI's vision for that is that, you know, we believe that each entity, each family office is going to have its own personalized intelligence layer, right? And what this layer does, it absorbs, you know, spreadsheets, macros, checklists, and there are many unwritten rules that sit with individuals that is institutionalized, right? So essentially, you know, what's happening in a manual process with key people is that, you know, they're processing something that only they know about, right? Whether it's a controller, you know, who's sort of forecasting cash on a spreadsheet. What we do is sort of institutionalize that spreadsheet because we believe that that's not personal IP, that is the IP of the firm. And as we systematize that, you know, the institutional layer, the intelligence layer sort of processes that, right? So over time, as we are designing the architecture of these workflows, you know, for example, somebody's reconciling an account or approving a wire or fixing a mapping or managing a covenant, you know, the intelligence layer is logging those stats, right? Because we're solving some critical problem, right? As I said, you know, we solve a tactical problem and the intelligence layer is emerging slowly. And so essentially, as we sort of systematize that, it turns that into reusable checks and playbooks. So essentially, you know, it removes that dependence on the person because the IP now belongs to the firm and it's not in some file drawer, right? And so it's, you know, so as I said previously, it's not just about adding capacity, right? It's really about like really institutionalizing the logic that's in the firm itself. You know, you're institutionalizing dependency and letting families really focus on their core missions as opposed to really sort of taking a time and doing P&L, right? So you're basically institutionalizing the spreadsheet, and the firm's logic lives in an internal system, not in a drawer, basically.
Perfect. So, you know, it, within the family office space, right, any one decision within a family, right, they sell an asset, they purchase one, they go through a liquidity event, they have a gifting, they, you know, turn over their portfolio, it creates chain reactions, tax, liquidity, governance, and impact. How does Opco AI model entities and flows, so knock-on effects are really seen before they hit? How does that help within that landscape, within that context?
So again, Mark, you know, this is why I think, you know, Opco AI is unique, because we have that institutional background. And you know, we have the institutional logic to really understand that, you know, in a family office, if you pull one link, you know, the whole chain moves, right? That is the complexity of the family office, right? And so you really have to design this up front, and you can't handle this accidentally. And that operational complexity of the family office isn't recognized, and you have to build architecture around it, right? And you just have to do that once, and then sort of, you know, turn it over to, you know, the internal path to the internal support. So one of the things we do is once we design it, you know, we turn the IP over to the family office. And so over time, you know, the intelligence layers of the firm, you know, they start modeling the family graph, you know, what are the entities, what are the ownership, what are capital flows, covenants and approvals. So as you sort of, you know, pull one link, you can, you know, it's all interconnected, so you can see the sort of the chain move. So you know, one of the things we talk about is impact, right? We're seeing a lot of sort of focus on impact, as sort of, newer generation take over families, you know, they also focus on legacy and what impact they're having. And essentially for impact, you know, we stand up an impact ledger. So a DAF or a donor advised funds, foundation, either mission related investments, just sit in the same pipeline as performance in the GL, right? So we're not only just measuring the performance, but you're also sort of measuring the impact, that the investment committee has committed to. And as you know, sort of now impact is, you know, a $1.5 trillion in assets globally and rising. And essentially the operating core has to measure outcomes, not just intention, right? So the system we set up really is, you know, recognizes the ripple before it becomes a wave. And then, you know, we deliver one view of the capital and the cause. And that's like how we manage sort of, you know, pulling off one link and making sure the whole chain moves in a flexible manner.
Perfect. So let's get even more specific and granular here. So what does it take to move the IPS, right, the investment policy statement, from policy to practice while keeping the organization agile? And the organization here is obviously the family, their capital, and the family office. How do you operationalize the IPS so that the risk, liquidity, concentration are really enforced in real time?
Sure. So Mark, as I said, you know, the three sort of main things we do, and we've sort of covered in the previous sort of conversation, is, you know, we design the overall architecture, you know, and the resulting target operating model, which consists of people, operational risks, process and technology. We modern the family office, you know, without ripping and replacing and essentially stitching stuff together. And finally, the third thing, you know, I mentioned is, we, you know, Opco AI makes the investment policy statement live, you know, so principals get clarity and teams can sort of build with speed, right? And so essentially, you know, what a investment policy statement, or as you said, IPS, does, it sets guardrails in what the mission of the family office is, right? And Opco's goal is to make that operational. So how do we do that, right? So first we translate limits set by the IPS, such as exposure, liquidity bands, rebalancing thresholds, you know, counterparties that the family office works with, covenant rules, into machine checkable intelligence, right? And we tie that to live data that comes in from admins and custodians to make sure, you know, the family office is really implementing what the, you know, IPS sets. You know, IPS is not another document that's sitting on a shelf. And when there are breaches, you know, those breaches, you know, create exceptions, you know, and those exceptions require maker checker with full audit logs to approve that, you know, we are making an exception, right? Secondly, we talked about impact, right? And so we design impact ledgers and dashboards that show status by each policy rather than by spreadsheet, right? So these spreadsheets are turned into actual ledgers and dashboards, which have to be implemented through the IPS, you know? And so as a result, governance and adherence to the IPS becomes institutional, it's continuous. Key person risk falls because rules are systematized rather than person depending. It's not person dependent, right? And so over time, you know, it becomes part of culture. The IPS becomes code, you know, that's monitored continuously and annually. And in the end, the family really benefits, right? Because, you know, the founder of the family, you know, they might have, you know, personal goals. Some want to drive healthcare or they want to drive impact. Someone to drive systematic change, you know, in addition to performance, and we can make sure that each of those wishes of the family offices, as codified in the IPS, are implemented operationally.
So Rishi, this has all been super interesting. You know, if I'm going to make an analogy, and I could be wrong here, there's a lot of off the shelf platforms, right? Tech platforms. You've got the Addepar, you've got the General Ledger. I think a lot of us know what those are already, but that's sort of like ready to wear, right? Like you're going to the store, here's your size, but you are basically like, hey, you've got ready to wear, but I'm the tailor, right? I'll make it fit better for more appropriately for your purpose, what you have going on for the family office. So I guess specifically, right, if you're looking at your value prop and how you position yourselves among, you know, within the market here in the landscape, why hire Opco.ai versus a software vendor or really a more generalist tech consultancy? And how do you partner really with, you know, a client's advisors, right? Service advisors like administrators, custodians, and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so essentially, you know, Mark, this is a really sort of good summary because, you know, you know, over time, you know, you see fragmentation, right? There are different systems, there are different processes. You know, obviously, an over-the-counter system, can be a general ledger. It can handle your reporting. So the systems actually do a lot of good stuff. I'm a supporter of all of these systems. You know, Addepar is a good system. I love that they have integrated Mirador and they have integrated reporting. And there are many, many things that these systems deliver well, right? But what we really need is that glue layer, right? That glue layer is not working because a family offices may have 2, 3, 4 systems, multiple different relationships. And we talked about the fact that, you know, you have data coming from custodians, from administrators. And so, you know, there is no one consistent data model, right? And when you don't have that, it creates a lot of problem. And the key problem is your performance and your books and records are in 2 different places, right? So essentially, what Opco is, you know, is we don't sell a system to you, right? You know, we can recommend systems to you, but we are builders and operators, right? And so what we are building and delivering, you know, the key deliverable from Opco AI is an operating model with a living data layer that stitches the systems you already own, right? So we never recommend rip and replace. It's more of a stitching together of this, right? And to your point, you know, there are very clear swim lanes in who does what, right? So, for example, advisors, you know, set the strategy and manage the relationships with these family offices. Administrators and custodian keep the records. What Opco AI does is normalizes the data, embed controls, you know, we automate reporting. And we connect the performance of the family office to the general ledger or the ABOR, and we make sure the whole system works, right? Secondly, you know, what we do is we measure outcomes, right? How long are you taking to close your books? What's your exception rate? What is your time to insight? And this intelligence layer, right, again, is not, you know, we don't sit and say, hey, let's just build an intelligence layer, right? Typically, it's a problem statement that is produced to us, right? Like our reconciliations are not working, our PNL is off. And so as we solve that practical element, we do it in a way that the intelligence layer emerges, right? And as we start building this intelligence layer and we glue the systems and processes together into one unified whole, we build it and then we transfer this IP, that we've built over to the family office, right? So not only does the family office own its internal systems, you know, the internal workflows, but now it's codified into this live intelligence layer. And then this IP then belongs to the family office. It's not living in a third-party system. It's within their environment. It's within the family's cloud. And so we build it and we turn this IP over, right? So in essence, we're not selling a system, but a solution on the existing stack, right? And we sort of like basically say, hey, let's stitch this, not switch, right? And I believe, you know, that's the right posture for the next gen era, right? So the other thing, you know, Mark, we see that, you know, 84 trillion of wealth is now going to transfer in the next 20 years, right? And essentially, you know, some of the tech systems are old, but this intelligence layer gives it more time, right? It gives you a much better front end. It gives you much better reporting and accesses the database of these disparate systems. And essentially, you know, as this wealth transfer happens, you know, the newer generation, you know, they have less tolerance for tech that doesn't work, right? They want better tech. They want transparency. They want mission alignment. And more importantly, they want tech that works for them on exactly like the way they see the tech working on the consumer side, right? That's the expectation I think the newer generations have. And you know, it's very difficult to, you know, explain to them, you know, why things are all over, things don't tie up, you know, I think there's like sort of, there isn't much tolerance for that, right? And essentially, you know, the reason I think OpCo AI brings a special sauce here is that the work we are doing needs a lot of domain expertise, right? What we've talked about is very heavy lifting. It's really understanding systems, processes that, you know, that we have acquired over 30 years in working for in institutional environments like Goldman Sachs, UBS, at Citi. And so there aren't a lot of sort of people out there that can sort of execute what's required. And OpCo AI brings a very specific domain expertise, you know, in operations, risk, and technology, right? So it's not vertical, but we're bringing all of these three verticals together to deliver this next-gen solution to clients, which is very cost-efficient. It works within their old systems. You know, the IP is turned over to the firm. So essentially, you know, we think it's a no-brainer for family offices to start solving the problems, really upgrading their systems and building the next-generation operating environment. That really, again, lets you focus on the mission and not sort of, you know, a lot of the technologies and breaks and so on and so forth.
Rishi, this has been great. I mean, I definitely learned a lot. It's great to know that there is an option out there for family offices to really customize and build this so they don't have a system that doesn't quite fit perfectly, right? And then also take their existing systems and to use your sort of philosophy stitch, you know, not necessarily replace. And I appreciate the time. I mean, for our listeners, you know, if you have any questions, do not hesitate to reach out to us, Rishi or myself, or your, you know, financial advisors here. But Rishi, thank you for the time. Much appreciated.
Yeah. And Mark, thank you again. You know, I think, you know, having talked to you, I think you have a real amazing, you know, outlook and handle on family offices. And if you want to reach out to OpCo AI, the quickest way is just send us an email, hi@opco.ai.
Rishi, thank you very much.
The material presented in this podcast has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. It is intended to be educational in nature. It is not an advertisement, nor is it a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments or to participate in any particular trading strategy, nor should it be viewed as such by the listener. UBS AG or its affiliates and its employees are not affiliated with any third-party speakers mentioned. None of UBS or its representatives is suggesting that the recipient or any other person take a specific course of action or any action at all in response to this podcast. By accessing and listening to this podcast, the listener acknowledges and agrees with the intended purpose described here and disclaims any expectation or belief that the information constitutes investment advice or a solicitation of any kind. Any financial instruments or services described in this podcast may not be eligible for sale in all jurisdictions or to certain categories of investors. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerages services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services that we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at UBS/relationship summaries or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member FINRA SIPC.